It was during my time in El Salvador that I was led to this chapter of Luke's gospel, where I really began to pray about, you know, this mission that was written in the heart of Christ. And I want to kind of help you understand that who were these two encounters in which Elisha the prophet is spoken of in Elijah. If you go back to the Old Testament, Elijah was sent as a prophet proclaiming to the people of God a time of conversion and healing. And Elijah was without fear in his message. One of the things that I want to kind of emphasize with you is that we have to be careful of emotionalism when the call of conversion is taking place in our lives. The whole church, when Jesus speaks this in the temple, is angry at him. They wanted to throw him out of the temple. There was not an emotionalism. Oh, he's our friend. All of a sudden, they have to put first things first. Gentlemen, it can't be an emotionalism when you say, oh, well, this is my priest or my bishop. That's got to be cast aside in search of the truth. And priests and bishops have to be willing to be thrown out in order to proclaim a message of conversion. There's no two ways about it. Here's the simplest way to live the Christian life. If Christ did it, then I will do it. Father Al Schwartz, whose cause is for canonization, he was a priest of the Archdiocese of Washington. And I've been involved in reading his life, and, you know, he was just this simple guy. Graduated from in Louvain, started to get the call to go serve the poor. And this guy, in his writings that he wrote to the spirituality of the Sisters of Mary, you know what he wrote? He said, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Why was Jesus, why do we accept the vow of obedience? Not because the church tells us to, but because Christ was obedient to the Father. Why do we accept chastity? Because Christ was chaste in his love for others. Why do we accept poverty? And he goes through each scripture passage. And guys, he keeps coming back to, if it was good enough for Christ, it's good enough for us Sisters of Mary. Well, it's the same for us. What are we really looking at in the culture now is, what did Christ want? How was Christ treated? Here's another example. The ad hominem comments. Oh, isn't that the carpenter's son? Immediately the ad hominem attacks. But that does not prevent Christ from actually preaching what the truth is. In front of these Pharisees, in front of these Sadducees, he says, you don't have the faith. You don't have the faith of conversion. So the first example of the Old Testament was Elijah, when God had cursed the people of Israel because they were unfaithful. And there is Elijah being sent to this woman, and the woman says, well, look, I don't have any. If we're going to die, my son and I. My child and I, we only have a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour. And Elijah says, great, perfect. That's all I need. Make me something to eat. He's like, well, if I do that, I'm going to die. He's like, don't worry about that. Trust. And this woman trusts that God is, that this prophet that's in front of them, not an emotionalism, not a, oh, make me feel better. No. Elijah says, fork it up. Give it to me. But trust. And then the oil and the flour never runs dry. Where's our faith, guys? Where's the real depth of faith where we say, I know I need to lay this out. I know that I have to trust more in God. But all of a sudden, when the squeeze gets on, and that boa constrictor of fasting and all of that stuff starts circling up. You're like, I don't want to. Why not? Look at what Christ points to. This old lady and her kid gave the last, and God said, I will bless you. Powerful. Naaman was the leader of a guard. Naaman was told to go wash in the water. And Naaman's like, why do I have to do this? Seven times, Naaman, go ahead. Look ridiculous. And he needed to be obedient. He needed to trust. What a powerful reminder that what Christ is saying to all of us is that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Guys, you need to be men who hear what is God saying to you. But I don't want it to be an emotionalism. Does everybody get that? An emotionalism. Oh, I can't speak to my pastor like that. Why? Because we're golf buddies. Forget it. For God's sake. Look what Christ did. He got thrown out. That was his whole livelihood. Yeah, you might get thrown off the parish council. Who cares? Look what happened to Christ. Go back to what happened to Christ. It's not what happened to the pastor. It's not what happened to the Pope. That's not the point of Christianity. What happened to Christ when he stood in the face of all those people that knew more and they wanted to throw him out? Why? Because he called them on the carpet. Face it. You don't have trust. You don't have faith. That's what Christ did. But he spoke. My God, what happened to those men? Where are those men? Oh, I don't want to get thrown off the parish council. I don't want to not be invited to the men's dinner. Nobody cares. My God. If we don't live our faith in the culture, then what are we? What are we? That's my first point. There's nine more. No. The second thing is I just love this passage from Isaiah the prophet. I beg you, memorize this. I've tried, but I have a 50-year-old memory. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. First, the consolation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is hovering, guys, over us, over Mother Church, in the sacraments. First is recognize that the Spirit is there. Secondly, to bring glad tidings to the poor. My God, that's the message. What is that? That's confession. Every time I read that stinking passage, I'm like, that's confession. The glad tidings to the poor, the man who's addicted and struggling. That's what Christ was saying. That's what the message is. It isn't some theoretical stuff like, oh, glad tidings to the poor. That's not anything. It's not a nice letter in my bulletin. It's this, glad tidings. Hey, brother, go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. That's glad tidings. That's liberation. That's what Christ is speaking to me in the passage. Hey, man, what do you hear? What are glad tidings for you when you become a messenger of the grace that God is giving to your life? By the power of Christ in your life, there's joy when you're struggling, when you're having trials, and you're like, no way, honey, I'm not giving up on you. You send to your wife, no way, I'm not going to get discouraged. The glad tidings of the poor, my poverty is a great grace. Guys, what are you doing with your poverty? What are you doing with your weakness? Look what Christ says. I have been sent to bring glad tidings to the weakness in your heart. My God, that's the answer. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. Not just acknowledging the poverty and saying, oh, I'm so sorry you're poor. He's like, no, you're not only spiritually poor, but the antidote is Christ. Why did he quote this scripture out of all the passages? Because that's his mission. The second thing, liberty to captives, like opening the ears of those who cannot hear. Releasing people so that the unforgiveness in the human heart is now free. Look, The bottom line is, I cannot fix the past outside of the church or inside of the church. But you know what I have to have? I have to pray for liberty. Ready? For all of those hurters and those who have hurt. Because they're imprisoned. And I don't want anybody to go to hell. I'm going there. Don't make it emotional. I don't want anybody in hell. And I don't care what they did. Because they're only passing on the pain. Does everybody get that? So many abusers have been abused. I don't want anybody in hell. So I'm praying to love them and that they will not lead down that path. Glad tidings to the poor and liberty to all of the abusers who are incarcerated in their own pain and sickness and suffering. This is the message of the church, guys. I hate to say it, but the guy that you gave your life for, Christ said, love your enemies. That's the message. No one wants to hear it because, unfortunately, it's a Christian message. Love your stinking enemies. Love them. Look at it. I can't hate the abusers. I'm not entitled to. Because that's just rallying us, quote unquote. That's not a sacrifice pleasing to God. We have got to rally around the message of Christ. Sight to the blind. My God, I've seen so many people so blind with rage. Oh my gosh, they're blind. And guess what? They can so easily fall into sin. Look in your heart, man. Are you guys falling into sin because you're angry at what's happening in the church? It's happening. I'm hearing in the box. Guys, eating too much, drinking too much, looking at porn too much, and they're like, yeah, man, I'm just so angry. It's like, hey, nimwit, it's because you're so angry. The stinking evil resurrects when we guys get angry. Amen? Is everybody with me? You're not entitled to counter evil with sin. You're entitled to attack evil with love and sacrifice. I've been talking to my brother priest. I was like, man, are you hearing more like anger? Yeah, and it's like, are you seeing the ripple effect? Yeah, it's like, yeah, man, it's bringing our good people back into the yuck that they were in before. I'm like, darn it. That's the ripple of abuse. We have got to let the oppressed free. Yes, they've got to want to be free. Don't misunderstand. But until a year is acceptable to the Lord, I cannot be a man acceptable to the Lord when I hover in unforgiveness and anger, regardless of who it is. I reached out recently to a woman named Immaculée Ilibagiza. This woman was in the Rwandan genocide. She wrote a book called Left to Tell. And she talks about being in this closet with her siblings or cousins for days. And then coming out of the closet, and she was hiding. Guys were coming in. She was in the bathroom. And the killers were coming in. I forget which tribe. And they were just like looking. They were like these blood-curdling screams. And then when they came out, all of her siblings were dead. Like the whole family was murdered. And she just like spoke so eloquently about forgiveness. I got to get there. And I have to have the courage to get there to preach it. I'm not afraid to preach it. I just don't know if people have ears to hear. But the problem is, that's the message of Christ. Our God lay on a piece of wood elevated, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Oh my gosh, if the words of Scripture are not coming off the page at you and you're like, wait, what? Are you serious? Not some pietistic, oh, forgive them, Father. No, like he's in anguish, but he's begging the Father, have mercy on the guys that hurt me. Like, look at the Scriptures, guys. That is incredibly impossible, but all things are possible. One of the great graces of all that's happening now is I'm looking at the Scripture and I'm like, do I really, really believe that? Like, do I really, really want to love my enemies? Not really. Do I really, really want to forgive those that persecute me? I was reading the Beatitudes yesterday. He said, and blessed are those who persecute you. All right, let me think about that one, Jesus. Rejoice and be glad. What are you talking about? Like, I'm not rejoicing when I'm hurt or mocked. My challenge for you today, guys, is this. Is that this passage unpacks for me really where I need to be as a Christian man. Am I going to let the Spirit of the Lord be upon me? Because this anointing that he's given to my heart is to bring glad tidings to people who are hungry and thirsty and suffering. And here's the deal. It's not an emotionalism. It's an authentic, this is really hard, and it's tough to be a Christian man or woman. But here's the problem. Pity the one who does not preach this conversion. Because I have a right to call the abusers out. Make no mistake. It isn't a blind eye. That's a lack of love. But I have to let the good news of Christ, because then there's truth and authenticity. Do not turn a blind eye to suffering and abuse and pain. Do not. That's a lack of love. It will always be a lack of love. Because the poor are suffering. That poor one is being hurt. But when I take a step back and I'm like, I have to show compassion in justice, in charity. Is everybody with me? Yes or no? Okay. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The truth is the truth. And then I let the Spirit of the Lord be upon me, and I want the ones who have been abused to be set free. And I really want the abusers to say, I did it, and I'm sorry. But they cannot be set free until they're honest. But the truth is that you and I have to let the Holy Spirit come upon us to say, wait a second, Christ came for this. Don't you get it? You got to accept it, and I don't care what you do. And that's what the grace is. And yes, it's hard, but that's our calling. Expect nothing less from the church at this time. Expect nothing less than a call of honesty and justice and charity and truth. Nothing less. And when it's not there, it's a lie. Because Christ said it. The Spirit of the Lord is to bring truth and liberty and freedom. And if you find people sweeping it under the carpet, they're denying the Scriptures. That's not of God. It will never be. Come on. Christ did not avoid it. He went to the temple and he told the truth, and they wanted to chuck him out. Look at it. That's what we need. We need the truth so proudly proclaimed that people are like, I don't like it. Fine. But at least it was said. At least it was said. But you guys got to live it. And you have to be authentic. And you have to pray and you have to fast and you have to suffer. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon you and the freedom of the body of Christ takes place. Let us pray for that grace, that God will give us that courage to not be afraid. Amen.